Welcome to Career Tools. This week, Horstmann's first law of job changes: change when you want to, not when you have to. The questions this class answers are: what is Horstmann's first law of job changes? Why is changing when you want to so important? And how do I prepare in order to change when I want to?
Folks, a little bit more about MT Disc. We've sold, I think, over 1,500 units already at 50% off the price you used to have to pay, because we got tired of hearing people that you just couldn't afford it. And so we changed the price to $30. And in addition, one of the things we love about Disc is it gives you a common way among your team and your colleagues, as they take Disc with you, to talk about how you communicate and about behavior. Too often when we talk about communication, we talk about personality and intent and meaning and so on. But what really matters in organizations is behavior. So when you take the MT Disc, you're going to get specific behavioral guidance. You're not only going to learn about yourself and how you tend to behave, but you're going to learn how other people behave. And then if they're different than you, we're going to give you guidance on how to change your behavior. And if you're a manager, that's particularly important, so you can give specific behavioral guidance to your folks. So come to the website, check out MT Disc, great new price, and more actionable guidance, as is always true from Manager Tools.
Changing jobs is something we all have to do at some point or another. People seem to think that it's becoming more frequent, and I don't see any data that really supports that. People early in their career tend to change more often, and that's often what people are looking at when they're looking at things and saying millennials change more often. Okay, yeah, but now all the millennials are 40 and they won't change as often. And there's two ways it can happen. There's either you choose to change because you've come to the end of what this job can offer you in terms of experience or interest or whatever, or bad reasons like you've got a new boss and you don't like them. Or there's changes that happen and it's not our choice. So things like layoffs or getting fired. It's far better to be in the position of choosing to make the change. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about why, because people often miss a lot of the reasons why it's better to be in control. And then we're going to talk about how to be in a good position when you have to change.
Yeah. Our outline today is pretty simple. Point one is why change when you want to, then choose when to change, and lastly, prepare to change. That's simple.
So like I said, there's two kinds of change. There's changing on your timetable and changing on someone else's timetable. And changing on your timetable is exponentially better.
Yeah, absolutely. Most people, I think, when we think about changing jobs or any of that, right? We don't think about it very often.
No.
We think about,
school year.
Exactly.
One of those things is when you, or performance reviews. Those are the three times you think about career planning.
Yeah. And you know, because you're in the throes of your job, you're doing, you know, your day-to-day stuff that's happening, and job changes are not something that, I mean, you don't know when or what the plan could be or any of that, but also it's not readily in front of you. Mm-hmm. Whereas there are a lot of competing interests for your immediate attention. It falls into the part of the Eisenhower matrix, right? That we're least likely to be thinking about, right? It's important because it dictates so much about your career and your life, really, but it's not urgent. It's not right now, right? So most of us, you know, we're thinking day to day about the things that are urgent, the things that are, you know, maybe not even important, but the things that are time sensitive, that, you know, it's due tomorrow, it's due, you know, this week. And so we're focusing on those things. But the best of us separate urgent and important from urgent and unimportant. And that's where, you know, what we're talking about is, if we can only work on the things that are important, then we can differentiate, right? But we don't always have that luxury.
And most of us can't do it. Most of us
only
think about that when we think about the Eisenhower matrix. And you go, oh yeah, that's really important, I should remember that. And then 5 minutes later, the phone rings and you're like, forgotten it.
Yeah, And unfortunately, we don't always get to choose what's important, right? I mean, we may say, this is urgent, but it's not important. And someone else, you know, be it a boss, be it another stakeholder that has a bigger voice than you, I mean, they deem it important. So it ratchets up on your list.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the problem with not thinking about career planning is that the job change will come up upon you when you're unaware. So you're thinking about delivering this project on time and not noticing that every other project in the company is late and doesn't meet customer requirements, and therefore the company is vulnerable. Or you're concentrating on this month and this month's profitability or this month's sales numbers, and you don't notice that the overall trend is down. You read the newspapers, or you read magazines, or you read blogs about what's happening in the industry today, because that's what the news is, right? It's the urgent stuff. And you don't think about what could happen in 5 years' time or 10 years' time and what you might, how you might want to deal with that. I was thinking, somebody brought up trucks the other day, I don't know why. And the discussion was, oh, it was from Richard Rommel's Good Strategy, Bad Strategy. He talks about a truck company that differentiates itself by having luxury trucks. And he was pointing out that this was a really good strategy in the market in which they're in. And then I thought, yeah, but what about self-driving trucks? Because self-driving trucks don't need, the robot doesn't need luxury, obviously. Yeah. And if you're not thinking, at the moment, that company is doing really well because they found their niche. People are willing to pay for what they're delivering. They're doing awesome. But self-driving trucks are coming. The time scale is different depending on who you ask, but it's coming, and that company needs to adjust. And if you're working in that company, you either see it adjusting or you think this isn't going to be the place to be when AI hits.
Absolutely. It's kind of that, you know, forest in the trees thing, mm-hmm. right? Where you get caught up looking at the trees that are right in front of you and you lose sight of where you sit in the actual, you know, the entirety of the forest. And I think that we kind of fool ourselves into thinking that that's just the way job changes happen, right?
Right. I mean, they happen to you.
They happen to you. Yeah, they happen when something happens, right? And that's just okay. And we look back with rose-colored glasses, mm-hmm. right? We look back and we say, well, yeah, I remember that one time in my career where I didn't want to make a move, but I was kind of forced to, whether it be a layoff or whether maybe an opportunity was presented and it just seemed like it made sense. And then, you know, you made a move, whatever it could have been that caused the move to happen. But we look back and we go, hey, that worked out, mm-hmm. right? Well, that's flawed logic, right?
Because yes, exactly.
It happened to work out, which is good, but you're looking at it in hindsight, right? And so I do think that we look back and we just see the positives. We realize that we wouldn't be in the position that we're in today without having, you know, having made that move, having, you know, that new boss or moved to a new area or moved away from a technology that became obsolete. And we almost congratulate ourselves, right? On what a great, you know, making the best of that situation. And we forget that there could have been other alternatives. There could have been other things on the table, and maybe those would have left us even better off than we are now.
Who knows?
Who knows?
There is a common example used about this kind of thinking in case studies and, you know, examples, which is the buggy whip manufacturers. In the 1800s, there were hundreds of people making whips for horses that are driving buggies. And everybody who had a buggy needed at least one whip because you needed to whip the horse, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when cars came along, the whips were no longer required and all the manufacturers went out of business in like 25 years. It was a really short period.
Yeah.
So as a buggy whip manufacturer, you could have waited until you saw the writing on the wall and then pivoted and tried to produce something that worked with cars, you know, make the leather seats or something. And in fact, many companies tried that. That's what common sense said to do. So that's what they did. But their skills were ill-suited to car making. That even though they had maybe the right materials, they didn't have the right machinery, they didn't have the right skills, they didn't understand cars in the way that they had understood their own product.
I mean, think about the design process, right? Back then, from a whip, which is very simplistic, to now you've got to somehow fit your product on this machine that nobody really understands how yes. it works and what it does. And yeah, it would be very challenging.
And so the very best of, or the buggy whip manufacturers who lasted were the ones who realized early that cars were going to make a real big difference to their business. They realized cars are going to make buggy whips obsolete, and they started investing in skills and machinery and the things they needed to be successful in the car industry. And they did it early enough that they were then able to capitalize on the next industry. And this is almost exactly how Studebaker, the car manufacturing, well, you think of it as a car manufacturing company, they lasted right. until the 1960s, but they were originally buggy whip manufacturers in the 1800s. So it's amazing, really.
That's so crazy to think
of. So instead of waiting for change to be forced upon them, they saw it coming, they planned for it, they made the change when they wanted to. Like, they had the money to invest at some point, and they invested that money in the change rather than investing it in something else or having to take out loans to do the investment, you know, when it was too late. So having planned for it and made the change when they wanted to, they reaped the benefits. And there's yeah. some obvious benefits of doing that, like they lasted and nobody else did. But there's some other less obvious benefits to making the change on your timetable, some of which you may not have thought of.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, probably the most important or biggest benefit is that you get to choose the job that you go to. When you're forced to make a job change, you're limited in what you can take. Especially if you're in a situation where you haven't saved, you know, we recommend you save 6 months of salary and you have that available for kind of a rainy day or emergency fund. And if you need to get another job right away, I think of this, Wendy, as like if you're shopping for a car, right? Mm-hmm. And you're on the car lot. If you're not sure how you're going to get your kids to school tomorrow, you can't be as picky.
No, exactly. Right? Yeah.
And so you are going to kind of take what's on the lot. You're certainly not going to be ordering a car to your particular preferences or specifications. You don't get to be choosy in that situation. And that's kind of like this. I mean, when you choose to make the change, you get choices like the company that you want to work for or the kind of work that you're going to do, where you're going to do it, how much you get paid, how much flexibility you have, and so on. When a change is happening to you, right? When you're not in the position where you can make the change, all those are off the table because you have to take what you can get. And conversely, when you're in a secure position, you can hold out for the role that gives you all of those benefits. And, you know, it's a small example, but if your kid has, you know, T-ball Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and it's really important for you to be able to take them to that practice, not every job is going to let you do that. Right? So you want to find the job that can and does, and you can be choosy. Again, I just think it's you don't want to find yourself in a position where you are, I don't want to say desperate, but where you have to take something that's less than what you want.
Or could right? have had. Yeah.
Or could have had. Yeah. yeah.
And we encourage everybody to be open to opportunities. And there is a podcast called Open to Opportunities, mm-hmm. Which means being willing to talk about a new job, even if you're not currently looking, and even if you're currently happy with the job you have. As with so many things, the best opportunities come when we're not looking. It's like having money, there's nothing to buy. Mm-hmm. Or when there's something you really want and it's on sale, you never have the money. It's, you know, it's just
right.
the law of the universe. So those opportunities may, probably wouldn't be available when you have to have them, when you need a new job. And they come up because people talk to you and you are willing to talk about other things, or you're willing to meet someone for coffee who works in another company and just talk about business in general. And then later that opportunity comes to you. There's lots of kind of network benefits. But being willing to talk allows you to capitalize on having those opportunities that you wouldn't have otherwise.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have, Wendy, just a tiny short story. I have a really good friend who's a recruiting manager. He manages for a large company, the recruiting process. And we became good friends because he reached out to me, cold reach out, and I wasn't interested. And so I told him, hey, I'm not interested. But instead of just saying no and closing the door, I said, but if you'd like, I know a few people who would potentially be interested and I can, you know, run that by them. And you know, and so he's reached out to me several times and we've gotten to know each other really well and we've gotten to be friends. And he's flat out told me, like, if you ever wanted to be a recruiter, I would hire you in a minute because you have, because he's hired people that I've mm-hmm. referred to him and he was looking to recruit me. But I just said, nah, I'm not really interested. And I, you know, but these people might be, and let's leverage my network and maybe that can help you out. And those types of things. Now, I don't want to be a recruiter, but it's just interesting because I could have easily closed that door. And how many times do you get that message on LinkedIn mm-hmm. that it's you can tell it's a form, it's copied and pasted,
yep.
and you could just let it go. But, you know, I stand by our guidance. Just be open and see what happens.
And the flip side, another way that conversation could have been was you said, I'm not interested in changing right now, but if you hear about a job that yeah. is in or is making or has work from home possibilities before we all worked from home or whatever it mm-hmm. is that is one of the sticking points for you, then that person is now looking for the opportunity for you and you can carry on doing your job. And that's how you find the change when you want to. You know, you find that job that's perfect for you by telling someone, oh yeah, like if you ever hear about this, I'm willing to talk.
Yeah, exactly. So another good benefit is you can take advantage of the timing, right? Of the benefits of timing. I mean, clearly, I think, Wendy, you were in recruiting, right? So we all are familiar with this kind of mass exodus that happens right around now, March, April, after bonuses get paid out, yeah. right? Those annual bonuses. So you get your annual bonus and or you get your stock that, or you become vested in stock that you received 3 years ago or 5 years ago. Those types of things happen. So clearly there's a benefit in controlling the timing and having to leave right before one of those bonuses gets paid out or something like that. That's just an additional, not hardship, but a factor.
Yeah. And there's an economic principle that I can't think of right now, which is the bonus, even though you aren't necessarily entitled to it, you already count it as your money and you've already spent it in your head. And then, you know, the company lets you go and it's an added, it's like insult to injury. Not yeah. only have I been let go, but I didn't get my bonus that I'd already spent in my head. And so
right.
even though you never had that money, it's another insult.
It's almost like opportunity cost, right?
It is.
But yeah. Is that what you're thinking?
No, that wasn't the one I was thinking, but it is like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like that.
And the other thing is like changes in the job often has a ripple effect if you have a family.
Oh, totally.
You know, you might need another car or less cars, or you might mm-hmm. need to sell your house or move houses.
Or if you are getting a work from home position, you might need to dedicate a room in your house to an office.
Yes.
You know, yeah, I mean, yeah.
And,
stuff
you know,
like
you might need to move your children's school. And often people want to do that in the summer break because,
yes.
you know, rather than in the middle of the school year, that's disrupting for children. If you time the job change, then you can take advantage of, I don't know, a dip in car prices. I mean, you wouldn't want to try and buy a car now because
no.
they're all selling for over manufacturer recommended prices, right?
Yeah.
Wait 2 years, they'll all be cheap, maybe. Please don't take that as financial advice. But those kind of timing things you can do, you know, you might know, hey, I really want a job in the big city that's near me. And so you wait for the housing market to change and you move at that point rather than when you got the new job or you make sure that you have the new job before you move. Like all of the timing, it all connects in our world because changing a job is so, it's like 90% of your day for some people.
Yeah, absolutely. So another benefit is you get to control your resume content. You know, recruiters can see from a resume that a person was unlucky enough to be caught in two or three rounds of layoffs and several short-term jobs with little progression and gaps in between send a strong signal. If you're unlucky enough to be in this position, there's nothing you can do about it. But you can prevent your resume from looking like this if you control when you leave. There's a general rhythm of job changes. I think Wendy mentioned, you know, on average, especially early in your career, 18 months to 2 years seems to be an average tenure. But later in your career, that moves up to an average of around 5 years for more senior folks. And changing when you want means you get to create that rhythm and you get to control what's on your resume, which is huge, right? Another big benefit of that is you get to control maybe waiting till the end of a big project. You know, our resume guidance is that you highlight accomplishments on your resume. So maybe make sure that you wait out if there's a certain accomplishment that you're going to be completing in 2 months. Get that completed and get it on your resume before you make that change. Yeah, new jobs have been won, you know, on one big project win or a big, you know, migration to a new system that, oh, just so happens a competitor is also trying to make that change. Well, how great is it that you played a big hand in that? You just did it. And so not only from the resume, but, you know, your reputation in the market that someone could gain, right? If you worked with a vendor who, you know, I just think of, I'm thinking of Workday, right? I've worked for some organizations that use Workday and have implemented Workday. And I've, you know, been a part of some of those implementations. And when that happens, I mean, it's a small world. The amount of vendors that do that and specialize in Workday integrations, or really any, you know, any software integrations, it's a small world. And if someone happens to be saying, oh, we might be hiring somebody from this other company who also implemented Workday, there's a vendor that they're talking to. And maybe the vendor says, oh, I worked with somebody over there. It doesn't happen to be this person, does it? Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. Well, guess who's got their foot in the door, exactly. Right? I mean, that type of stuff happens. So, you know, the key here is, and really this is great for resume guidance in general, but thinking of your resume as something you can control rather than just a...
It's not just a record of history.
Yes.
I mean, it's just a record of history, but you can change what the history says by changing the future.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine sitting down with your resume today and going, you know what I would really like to see on my resume 5 years from now, or be able to put on my resume to put forth 5 years from now? That's how you should be thinking of your resume, right? And then what do? Put a plan in place to get those accomplishments or those things on your resume.
I have never said that out loud. And that's like, I wish we put this in that at the beginning because more people would hear it.
Yeah.
Because that's really important. And the last one is it's less stressful. You know, human beings are not good at change, none of us. And we react poorly. It's worse for us when that change is forced upon us. Changing jobs is always stressful. Even if you're going from a job you love to another job that you're really excited about, it's always stressful. If you're doing it and you feel in control and you chose the timing, you chose where to go, it's less stressful. And the less stressed you are, the better you perform, the easier interviews will be, the easier the change will be. And so if you can, control it.
Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's not just being less stressed makes us happier, makes us feel better, right? Being less stressed makes you more effective, makes you better at whatever you're doing. Yeah, I think that's huge.
Folks, we continue to encourage people to become members of our site. If you're listening and you don't hear from us by email, we promise we won't drown you. We'd like you to become a member, and it's free. And you'll get content every week from us for free and pointing you to more content also free. And in addition, you can become a licensee. And licensee is really where you unlock the value. It is $200 a year, but we think of that as being Tiffany advice at Walmart prices. And you get access to executive tools, which if you're a manager, you'll want to know how executives think and ought to behave. And also the interviewing series, First Job Fundamentals, the resume workbook, and more and more and more. To say nothing of the show notes for executive tools and career tools and manager tools. And I think we're over 1,500 casts by now, which is, I don't even know, maybe close to 50 or 60 or 70 books, which is a pretty good deal. So become a member. And if you're already a member, become a licensee. Thanks.
So our next part is to choose when to change. Okay, there are two parts to changing jobs when you want to. First, you have to know when you want to. That means looking into the next 5-10 years and asking yourself, when would it be best for me and my family to make a job change? So you take an hour and you answer these questions, okay? This is, I love this list, okay? When would it be best to change jobs for my current workload, projects that I'm working on, and projects that I know are coming? Great question, right? When would it be best to change jobs for my resume, like we just talked about? When would it be best to change jobs for my desired growth? When would it be best to change jobs for my skills? When would it be best to change jobs for my family? I'm specifically thinking of like for me, right? Mm-hmm. I've got kids that are going to, you know, they're in schools now, but they're going to be transitioning to from elementary to middle school to middle to high school, right? And that probably will be easier transitions for them, right? If you have kids that are in those school ages, it's probably easier for them to transition schools when they're also going to be transitioning schools anyways, right?
Exactly. So the next ones are, when would it be best to change jobs for my finances? When would it be best to change jobs for my network? When would it be best to change jobs accounting for the economy? And the global, not the global, but the economy.
Macro.
Yeah, exactly. Macro. That was the word I was thinking. When would it be best to change jobs for the changes I know that are coming in my industry? And when would it be best to change jobs for the frequency of opportunities I would be interested in? There are some roles for which there are lots of opportunities. You said implementing Workday. There's probably 100 companies in Las Vegas where you are doing that right now. There are other jobs that only come up. I used to recruit submarine engineers, and you know, there's only one. There's not that many submarines being made, right? Submarine designers are not that required, which makes it really hard to recruit because there's hardly any of them, and they hardly ever want to change when I wanted to recruit them. But if you have one of those jobs, or you want one of those jobs that you know is very rare, then you have to be aware of when that might happen. You know, it's no use saying, I want to change in 6 months. If those jobs only come up once every 2 years, it's unlikely that you're going to meet your goal.
Right.
And I just thought of another one, which is there are some jobs where there's an intake. So for some reason, I'm thinking of flight attendants because they take a chunk of them and they go to training together and so on. Most people listening are probably not going to want to be flight attendants, but there are jobs like that where there is a period in time when there's a lot of jobs and then there's none for a year until the next intake.
Right, like a recruiting class, right? They bring in like a class, there's 30, 40, 50 of them, and then they know there's going to be some attrition, so they just go through that whole process one time over 6 months, 8 months, a year. Yeah, that makes sense. So the next point we have is prepare to change. So preparing for a job change requires you to take the strategic question of when do I want to change and establish the tasks that you need to complete in order to do so. So in Management, Tasks, Practices, and Responsibilities by Peter Drucker, he wrote, strategic planning does not deal with future decisions. It deals with the futurity of present decisions. Decisions only exist in the present.
That's genius.
It's so good. And that's two sentences. That's why it's so hard to read Drucker. Yes. Because it's so good. It's just so dense. So the questions that face the decision maker are not like what the organization should do tomorrow. It's what do we have to do today to be ready for an uncertain tomorrow? I remember, I can't remember who it was. It was probably some motivational speaker, Jim Rohn or something. And he said, you have to examine the set of your sail because the same wind blows on us all, right? The same wind is blowing. But it's the set of your sail that determines whether or not you take advantage of that wind. And that's what I think of here is your sail set so that when the opportunity arises that we're talking about, when the wind blows, whether it's those jobs happen every 2 months or they happen every 2 years, is your sail set, right? Are you ready? We talk about this all the time. We talk about this with resume guidance. Mm-hmm. That's why we say, you know, you should be reviewing and updating your resume every quarter rather than when you find out there's a job opening.
Right.
Right. Because that 5 day or two, even 2 day delay of, well, I got to get my resume together, that opens the door for someone else to get their resume in first.
The idea that where I want to go in the future rests on the decisions I make today blew my mind when I read that sentence. And again, it's one of those things where you think that's genius and then you forget it. But yes, you've answered all those questions. You've come up with a timing that works for you. And then you have to do the tasks in order to achieve that goal.
Absolutely. So we can't be certain that the opportunity is going to come up exactly when we decided would be best, right? We can't be certain that something won't happen in between, you know, when we plan to make that change. And there are things that could force a job change on you. But being prepared for the opportunity and making decisions and taking action now also mean that you're closer to being ready when and if something like that happens. Your actions will depend on where you are and when you want to change and how you want to change and what you want to change to. But there are some common tasks that, regardless of your process or where you want to go, that everyone needs to do. And we've kind of alluded to some of them.
The first one is save money. The security of an emergency fund, savings, retirement, and all of the other financial cushions enables you to make choices that you want to, when you want to, not the ones that you're forced to do. Whenever I get an email and someone's like, please, can you look at my resume? I'm changing jobs, or I have been laid off. My first question is, have you got money? Because it makes a huge difference. If you need a job next week, it makes a huge difference. That is very different to, I've got 6 months of savings and I'm okay spending it all. You know, I'm okay waiting 6 months. No, yeah. Or I've got 6 months savings and I can go to 3 months comfortably. The opportunities that you go for, the actions that you take are so different. And having money in the bank or somewhere safe just changes everything at that moment.
I think it goes back to the frequency of that those jobs come available, mm-hmm. that conversation. Because if you need a job next week, because you have to put food on the table next week, then you're limited to jobs that come up every week.
You're right.
And those jobs come up every week for a reason, because they're not good jobs.
Yeah,
they're not people, you know, people don't stay in them. The other thing that you want to do is build your network, okay, and keep it warm. Your network is your source of opportunities. It's also the source of information about the negative circumstances that may cause you to have to move, right? So you want to keep that network warm. You want to keep your ear to the ground, right? The pulse on where things are, for sure.
It's like a spider on a web. You can feel what's happening. Next one, track your wins, because tracking your wins enables you to keep your resume up to date, and that helps you move fast when opportunities present themselves. There's a really big difference between people who take 3 days to send you their resume and people who say, I can send it in an hour. Like, people who can send it in an hour look organized and up to date and efficient and enthusiastic about the opportunity that you're giving them. People that take 3 days, they don't care that much, is the message.
Absolutely. Execute on your professional development plan. The world, your industry, your company are ever changing. In order to keep up, you need to keep learning. Keeping up with current technology, other changes in your industry helps you find new opportunities, gives you something to talk about in an interview, and will make you a more attractive candidate if you have to make that change.
And the last one, prepare your family. Change is hard on everybody. And for your family, knowing you have a plan and that plan will protect you, you have a plan, a positive plan for the future. You know what you want, but also that plan will protect you if the worst happens. That helps your family feel secure about changes that are happening, good and bad, all the time. Right. So career planning, or even just thinking about the next 5 years in our career, is something that's easily put off. It's difficult, uncomfortable work, and there's always something more urgent to do. And that's why most of us end up in the less than ideal situation, being forced to change jobs. But if you do the work, you can choose when you change, and you can reap the benefits of doing that work if you're willing to do it.
Exactly.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.